The Defense Department expects to have a new electronic health record system in place by next summer, or at least on tap by next summer. But the new system won't fix the long-standing integration problems the agency has with the EHR system at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Neither agency seems ready to compromise on a system to use. John Kamensky is senior fellow at the IBM Center for the Business of Government, and the center is writing about ways agencies can build interorganizational networks to fix large problems like veterans' health care. John, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you for coming on the program. Let's start with the definition of networks, because I think depending what you do as your job and how you look at the world, networks could mean different things to different people. In the context of this conversation and building cross-agency networks, what is a network, John?
Well, we just released a study where the authors say that interorganizational networks are, quote, where three or more organizations are working together toward a common purpose, end quote. And so this definition of working together is oftentimes when a group of autonomous or independent stakeholders like defense and VA have a common problem. They want to engage in an interactive process, working back and forth using shared rules or norms and structures to be able to solve a problem. And that's the shared, and it's the norms, and it's the structures that right now are not where they might be with this particular instance.
What does a healthy interorganizational network look like, John?
Well, this is depends on sort of what you're trying to achieve, but there's two key elements. One is network leadership, which is more of a participatory leadership style, but also network management. And the management is the activities and processes of getting something done, but the managers are the ones that whose job it is to increase the stock of trust or reciprocity of exchanges between the participants within a network. And so you have to have skills around relationship building as well as process management.
As I look through both your story about the new work from the IBM Center in GovExec and then looked at the work itself, there are some things here, obviously, that are very highly specialized. There are some concepts, though, that are pretty common to other best practices and so on of managerial and leadership techniques. And the communications element, it seems to me, is probably the most important of those. Am I on target there, do you think?
Well, communications is an important element for establishing and continuing trust and collaboration across boundaries. But it's collaboration within the network or communication within the network, as well as communication externally with other stakeholders.
I appreciate the fact that Janice Popp, Brenton Millward, Gail McKean, Ann Case Beer, and Ronald Lindstrom, who put this report together, don't take all good news approach to this. They talk about the limitations of networks, and I guess the benefit that I would take away, the silver lining I would take away from the challenges, is that none of them seem unovercomable, if that's a word. I think I might have just made it up. Achieving consensus on a network purpose and goals can be challenging. Culture clashes, loss of autonomy, coordination fatigue, the time and effort to develop the relationships can be challenging. Power imbalances. Those are all things that if you're aware of them going into the process, or even, I guess, part of the way through the process, still in the development stage, you can address all of those and mitigate them and still continue and finally get to a point where you've built a successful interorganizational network.
And that's if there is a willingness by all the participants to do that. It's not unlike a marriage where people have to be willing to compromise and work together, and that's toward a common purpose.
They write about three key interlocking themes related to effective network development and growth: network governance, management and leadership of the networks, and network structures.
Right.
Why are those so important, John?
Well, those are the key elements of being able to work together collaboratively. One is you need to have some sort of a governance structure, people, of how are we going to work together? And that can be, there's different ways. You can have shared governance or a lead organization or an external organization that everybody works with to do this. And there are great examples in a lot of different policy areas, clean waterways or reducing child abuse or serving mentally ill in the community or reducing smoking. There's all sorts of different kinds of networks of players that can involve the religious people, that can involve law enforcement, social services, et cetera, around solving a community-related problem. The network leadership and management is basically who's involved and how do they behave. And the Office of Personnel Management, interestingly, came out with a set of criteria for executives as to how, what are the characteristics of successful leaders in a network-type environment. And then finally, network structures. A lot of times, networks aren't something that are legally constructed, so there's something where people have to work together and be able to figure out how they interact in an instance where it's not something that's called for in statute.
John Kaminsky of the IBM Center for the Business of Government and writing about what we really know about building cross-agency networks. The IBM Center releasing a synopsis of this called Interorganizational Networks, a Review of the Literature to Inform Practice. You can find a link to both resources, John's piece and the work itself. It's federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. Four stages that the authors write about, John, about network evolution. Stage one, formation. Stage two, development and growth. Stage three, maturity and sustainability and resilience. And stage four, death and transformation. Are those four stages inevitable, John? Because if they are, it means that every organization at some point will have to reinvent itself in one way or another.
Well, there's always reinvention going on in every organization, and a network is no different. And there are cycles, and the question is it death and transformation short-term, or is it very long-term? For a lot of networks, sustainability is a problem when there is a change in leadership or change in administrations, and so that becomes much more problematic if it isn't somehow anchored in law or in statute or something like that. Oftentimes networks are created in the moment to create to solve a particular problem that may last either days or just or several years.
Final thought, evaluating networks, the authors write about that. Is it as simple as just looking at it and saying, is it working to meet the mission we intended it to, or is it more complex than that?
It's generally more complex than that because meeting the mission, for example, reducing the instance of smoking, may be one element of it, but other elements that are less measurable are how are people working together in the network, and are they working on other things that maybe, say, other kinds of diseases or obesity or something. So it could bring a network together to solve one problem, but the value of it actually is bringing people together that they may then go off and work on another issue that is related.
It's fascinating stuff, and it's something, a take on this that I haven't seen before, John, and I appreciate you coming on and talk about it with
me
today.
Thank you very much. This report is something that we've never done something like this before. It's a literature review looking at 10 years' worth of literature that's out there, and the authors say this is what's worth reading, and this is what is something that's not really worth your while reading, and they provide a guide or a template of making sense of the literature that's never existed before.